Hey, it's your Match Zoom show for Friday, 30 of August 2019, which is either the last day of August or the last but one day of August. Oops, what the hell was that? Depending on what you believe in. That was the cat. What are you doing? Wait. Yeah, you. Well, don't. Well, I'm not editing that bit out. Cat's just knocked over a picture. And now, what, you want to get out now? Yeah? For fuck's sake. I've come in here to, once again in the bedroom because the builders are going berserk. Oh, she's managed to get out on her own. Good work. Shut the door behind you. Because I'm in here because the builders have got some fucking, I don't know, neutron-powered drill going on next door. So I'm in the bedroom. It doesn't matter, does it? I'm going to have to get up. Hang on. Bullshit. Right, and out means out. Okay. The irritating thing is that my, because I can't sit at the table, I want to keep the sound level. Excuse me. Consistent, so I put it on my groin and hold it. I've got a little. It does, who cares? Honestly, okay. Well, the cat's out. I'm in. And high jinks at Doom Corp's headquarters over the bank holiday weekend ended with I mentioned this on Twitter the other day about this banging on the door. This was like 10 at it was 10 at night on bank holiday Monday, and I just switched the alarm on, checked everything was off, then checked it off, it was all off again, and then checked the alarm again, and then I was about to get into bed, and the doorbell rang, which is unusual. And there was a banging on the door, like, bah, 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 bah. Somebody's really giving it some bifters. So I thought, oh, crap. So I got up, and then there was more banging on the door, and then this spluttering noise. And I thought to myself, hello, something's afoot. And as I approached the door, you know what, I'm going to have... Son of a diddly. I'm going to have a drink of water. Hang on. I'm not pausing it. I don't know how to pause it. Okay, got me water. Got my water. Got me water that makes me burp. Whack. Okay, so I'm back. I approached the door. There was this like spluttering noise and more door banging. So I opened the door, and there's this woman stood there. She's clothed. But she's got, you know, she's barefooted. But the defining characteristic was she was frothing at the mouth and pointing at the mouth and going, bah, 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 like that. So I looked at her. So I thought to myself, something's awry here. So I said, have you swallowed something? And she goes, yeah. Or she nods. And there's drool fucking all over the place. It's like one of those St. Bernards or something. So thinking on my feet, I flipped around and did the gone for the old the Heinrich manoeuvre. Now I don't know how to do I don't even know how to spell it or say it. So, but I had a bloody good go at it. So a banging sort of got me arms round her waist, sort of dragging her in and all that. To little or no avail. I was doing it for about 30 seconds, and because I don't know what I'm doing, I was essentially dry humping it. That's probably how it looked. Certainly, me missus was watching from the east wing of the hallway and just looking on in absolute horror. So we get her in, and there's more spluttering and choking, and you know, it's a real fucking to do. So we get her in, and I think to myself, well, where's bathroom's the best spot for this, because you know, there's paper and more stuff in there. So we get her in there, give her another bash, and we're still getting nowhere. You know, she's still spluttering. She's kind of, you know, she's shaking. She's terrified. Speaking of shaking, those people, you know, cerebral palsy sufferers. Do you reckon the shaking, does that burn off a lot of calories? Because the reason I ask is I'm trying to lose a bit of weight, and so I've got my step bloody counter and all that. And coming home from work the other day, and a fella behind me, and he's got cerebral palsy, and I couldn't shake this fella. You know, he was walking behind me like big massive steps every time. I could not get away from him. He followed me for about half a mile. We must live somewhere similar. But yeah, you know, we walked the same distance. So I guess he was getting more, because his motion was more rigorous than mine. He's probably getting a bit more out of it than me. But I should have been able to get rid of him. It was like the, you know, the Emo Phillips thing about getting mugged by an asthmatic. So this woman's, she's in there shaking. She can speak a little bit. She's saying, you know, I can't breathe, that kind of stuff. So this has been a few minutes now. So the wife says, I'll phone an ambulance. It never occurred to me at any point in this ordeal to phone an ambulance, which is a bad sign, I admit. So she gets her phone, which is switched off. So I stood there while this woman's frothing and spraying the bathroom with a, you know, possibly a death rattle, while we're waiting for a Motorola graphics to finish. So I said, go and get me anyway. You know, so she eventually gets through to the ambulance people. In the meantime, I've gone to get this woman. I'm thinking on my feet. I get her a drink of water. Bad move. Just makes it all the worse. It's like if you boiled a kettle and left the lid off, it's going fucking everywhere now. She's like the Exorcist or something. So my wife's on the phone. This woman is in our bathroom, you know, whirling dervish, kind of, in hindsight, she should have conserved her energy, but she was spluttering and, you know, looking more and more desperate. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if this is it, if she's going to check out, you know, should I stay with her? Maybe sort of hold her hand so she's not alone at the moment of death. Although, as the mum of The Sopranos said, we all die in our own arms. But so, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, what can I do? She's terrified. She was genuinely, I've never seen anyone like this. The whole thing from opening the door to this point, she looked utter terror. And no surprise when she was confronted by these two dingbats trying to save her. But I thought, do I stay with her? Do I hold hand? But I thought, you know, she's making a hell of a mess. So I kind of edged away so that I was stood in the doorway. So she could still see me, as one might do if one had to conduct a little bit of serious business out of the ears of a child. So the wife's on the phone. Anyway, long story short, she just swallowed the bloody thing. And it turned out she's gone to bed. And she'd had two of these, she called them gel vitamin tablets. So that was the other thing. She managed to get that out. Vitamin. And Mrs. says to the ambulance person, she took some amphetamines. Not quite. So she's had them and it's got stuck and, you know, hilarity ensued. So we said, why don't you come to us? And because this woman's from the next built the next door flats, but the top flats, and nobody must have been in. So she must have been fucking, I don't know how long she was in there staggering around, but it could have gone horribly awry for any number of reasons, not least if it had just been me, I probably wouldn't have thought of phoning an ambulance. The other thing is, if I'd have said, who's that at the door, rather than just piling in, and I'd heard this, I probably wouldn't have answered the door to her, you know. So anyway, she's okay. Hero, well, it's really, really not for me to say. But anyway, yeah, so she's all right. She got out of there, no problem. Went to bed, and yeah, so we all moved on with our lives. But it did make me think about that level of panic, and you know, if you were on the bog at home, and the wife or your fella or anybody you care about enough, you know, like a top tier relationship, came in a state of absolute panic, and you'd kind of just started, you sat down, there's been a couple of deposits, what would you do? You know, would you finish up? Which can sometimes take a while, depending on how hairy you are, and then you've also, you know, you've got to wash your hands and all that stuff. And if you're in an unventilated bathroom, you've got to spray.
Have you sprayed?
Or would you just get off and go and attend? And if so, and it turned out it wasn't that big a deal, I'm not saying it would be, but, you know, quite often what somebody presents as a catastrophe can be kind of downgraded almost. Anyway, just something that made me think. That noise is me whacking the bed. And also, I've noticed when I'm sort of doing a tiny bit of editing with these things, I do this, something like that, quite often. I assume it's a nervous thing, so I am so, so sorry to have upset you with it. Okay, so there we go. We are running, I don't know, if it depends on whether I edit the middle bit out. I almost certainly won't. So 13 max doom minutes. So let's go to our first recurring feature, apart from the Sarni thing, which is What's Eating Henry? And Henry this week is, in fact, the Independent's chief football writer, Miguel Delaney. That's my emphasis. And he is one of a number of top-level sports hacks weighing in on Berry Burry. And I just did it then, like that. And Bolton Wanderers, and their various travails at the hands of, I have to confess, I haven't really been paying attention, but Bolton, you can see what's happened with Bolton, because they, you know, they were always chucking a load of money on what appeared to be reasonably or fairly modest income, so there's not a massive shock there. They got took over, didn't they? So, rock on, man. But with Burry, It is a real shock, but you know the tone of some of this stuff. So here we go. The stand first on Miguel Delaney's piece is the demise of the two Northwest clubs, that's Berry and Bolton, is nothing short of a national tragedy, because it reflects about 2019 British society, and because there were so many forewarnings, or just warnings. Now, there's a number of things going on here. He talks about the devastation of the clubs and the communities, and this is all true. I'm going to continue in plural if he does, even though technically Bolton have got some kind of reprieve. But it's the way they, you know, he talks so high-handedly about this pressing problem for the game. Those who complacently believe in the robustness of the football pyramid, in the fundamental resilience of football clubs, have had the worst of wake-up calls. Yes, they have, Miguel, haven't they? It's been 27 years since the previous one, blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is very few people actually give a shit. And that's why Bury have gone. I read something years ago about the level of debt that Real Madrid operate on, and no bank would ever foreclose on Real Madrid, unfortunately. Bury are not afforded the same... luxury, whatever the phrase is. And this kind of, it's very fleeting. A few years ago, I would have paid a lot more attention to this. As I understand it, they were spending way beyond their means to get promoted. And then when it all goes tits up, and some idiots bought them for a knicker, is it? Well, I don't know. Whatever. But, it's a national scandal, is it? I don't think it is. I think you'd be amazed at how few people actually care about this. And by care, I mean do something. You know, tweeting about it and tweeting about, you know, this, that and the other, that's not doing anything, is it? It feeds into the idea posited by no less an authority on the game than me that, you know, football's a game show. We've had it for years. There's an entire industry based around talking about football. It doesn't matter what you say, as long as you keep talking. The new website, The Athletic, is the perfect example of this. I haven't read it because I'm not going to pay them. I'm not that interested in somebody, because there's so little actual news. Well, I don't care about their opinions. That's not to knock them. I'm sure there's some brilliant writers on it. And there are lots of football writers whose work I do enjoy, but I'm not that bothered. So it's a game show, and, you know, the grumbling and the complaining and the hoo-ha and the wringing of hands about Sky's countdown, you know, to devastation or whatever it was. Well, what do you fucking expect? It's Sky, it's Jim White. You know what you're going to get with them. They are not a broadcaster or a network known for their deftness of touch. You know, you could always not watch it. I mean, I didn't watch it, for example. I mean, but it doesn't matter, because this is the inherent transient nature of this. The more coverage, in inverted commas, there is, the less people listen. And unfortunately, you know, the Bury will, whatever happens to them, the wider world won't be bothered, because the wider world wasn't bothered. And, you know, I don't know about why Gary Neville should have got involved. I don't care. But I'm not glad they've gone, incidentally. I think it's bloody terrible. And it's not just the club and the players and the supporters. It's the people who worked there. I worked at a football club. They were in Division 3 at the time. You know, those things, football clubs run on goodwill, you know. People get paid late, if at all. They get paid poorly because there's a certain sheen attached to working in football. It's not really, you know, it doesn't bear any scrutiny, but, you know, they'll pay invoices will go in and they'll pay people late and say, oh, come on, mate. But as someone I know who had that happen to them says, you can't say, oh, come on, mate, down at the supermarket when you want to buy your grub. You know, these things that have run on goodwill for decades, more. And we had one woman worked in it was the press room, and she did the tea and this and that. And she'd be there for about 4 hours. She got about, I think it was 50 quid. It might have been less. And she travelled 90 minutes each way on public transport to do that. And it was her main source of income. So, you know, the people who rub their hands go, well, I've no sympathy. There's a lot of no sympathy people out there. Did Bury vote Brexit? I'm sure they did. Well, there you go. There's another brutal dose of karma for those people who like to be right on the internet in front of strangers. But it's those kind of people that, not those fucking dickheads, I'm talking about the people who work and rely on the clubs. Those are the people who suffer, and, you know, the people, the cafes, the chippies, even the fellas selling the black bloody merchandise, you know. It's a big hole. Yeah, as I say, it's like the Truman Show. We'll just switch on to the next channel, sure enough. And that'll be your lot. Yeah, sad stuff. Okay, so what else we got? Oh, yeah. I asked this on Twitter the other day. Trans people, you know, when they transition from man to woman, do they get their feet done? Because, you know, but I guess men's feet are generally a lot bigger. I looked it up, and I got to be very careful researching around this kind of stuff, researching, i.e. Googling. I'm not sure if they do, and I didn't want to read too deep into it, but apparently there's some kind of discussions on it. It's called passing, which I guess means passing for somebody who was born a woman. I don't bloody know. Anyway, something to think about there. So, you know, you can get back to me on that one, and we'll compare notes. And lastly, I think we might be running over a bit over the 21 minutes here. Everton played against Lincoln. They were okay, you know. What I did like about it was Pickford running the left of the pitch, not just to have a go, but that little fucking squirt, I can't remember his name, fucking real scrappy do. And Pickford just got hold of him like fucking Dave Mackay's got hold of Bremner by the scruff of the neck. And, you know, fair play to the referee. He probably should have sent him off for that. But, yeah, they're through. Sheffield Wednesday away in the next round. Yeah, who knows? And it's all systems go for... They got... What did it again? They got Wolves on Sunday. Honestly, who knows? Well, I from what I've seen of Wolves last season, the white have flown with Everton, but... Yeah, the two new lads look decent. Iwobi and Keane. The fella at right back looked like he had... I was going to say cerebral palsy. I just did. His touch was all over the bloody... a few of them, Delph as well, his passing was a bit hit and miss, but, you know, he's first proper game for a good few months, you know. So it's understandable. Overall, I thought Delph was excellent. Whereas the other fella, the one at right back, I can't remember his name, he looked like shockingly bad, like he'd been recommended by George Weah's bloody cousin or something like that. So hopefully he'll pick up. But yeah, who cares, honestly. Okay, that's it. I've just got time to mention one other thing, which was, looking at it as part of my attempt to lose a bit of weight, looking at the local park run, which it's 5K, so it's 3 miles. The local record is 15 minutes, 31 seconds. That's a 5 minute and a bit mile. What the fuck is this idiot doing? And it was on Christmas bloody day. What an absolute wanker this lad must be. Proper competitive dad, you know, 20 of the Queen's runs. Fucking ball bag. Anyway, yeah, there you go. So I'll keep you updated on the intro. So that's your lot for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. But as ever, if you didn't, it was free. So that's it. Go on, beat it. Cheers, bye. Ciao.